You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, we're going to pick up in Colossians chapter 3. And we're looking at this whole idea of how do we live? You know, a lot of people are breathing, but they're not living. They're going through the motions, just going to work, coming home, eking out existence, but there's no real life or dynamic. There's some people, listen closely, I didn't say this first service, but there's some folks who have been in church, no longer in church, you just grew weary in well-doing. And sometimes, and the Bible says that, don't grow weary in well-doing, but we tend to. We grow tired. I don't get tired of the ministry. I love ministry. I love Jesus. I love church. I love you. I'm thankful. I think this is the greatest thing. This is the greatest gift. You know, relationship with the Lord. He's given us His Word and the Holy Spirit, and He's given us church and community, and I love that. I don't grow tired of ministry, but sometimes I get tired in ministry, and I just physically wear out. Yesterday was a long day without a mobile food pantry, run home, throw us, you know, a different set of clothes on, do a wedding, and then get back home, get home last night at 7:30, and just have a moment to sit down and grab a bite of dinner. And sometimes my body, sometimes I just kind of get tired. And I think sometimes when we get physically tired, we just kind of start on a spiral and we're not as engaged. And I believe part of that's the enemy's strategy. Let me just say this, the enemy will use good things to keep you out of fellowship and out of being involved in kingdom work. The most important meeting you'll have all week is this meeting right here. This is the most important thing we can do, is get together. This is a spiritual gathering to talk about spirit life, to talk about God who is a spirit, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is where life comes from. And here's what the Bible does for us. It shows us how to live. We're going to take that word, live, do a little acrostic, L-I-V-E. Maybe it's something you could write in your Bible, put in your journal. Remind yourself of what real living is. Jesus said this. He said, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. Well, how do we live that life? Once we've come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, how do we live life and not grow weary and not burn out? How do we stay committed and connected? There's a wonderful passage of Scripture here in Colossians chapter 3. You know, in Colossians 1 and in Colossians 2, it tells us who Jesus is and what He's done for us. And that's called doctrine, and that's good. We need to know who our God is, and we need to understand all that He has provided for us. But then in chapters 3 and 4, He gives us insight on how we are to behave. Here's what we're to believe, but here's how we're to behave. How many people understand there's a real disconnect in the Christian world on what we believe and how we act? And what Paul's trying to do is to help us to line up, this is what we believe, and here's how we live it out. It's called authentic Christ following. And that's what he's trying to grow us into. Well, these are powerful, powerful verses. Colossians 3, verse number 1. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, right there it is. How do we live? It's in Christ. Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the worship experience. Thank you for the multitudes of people that have gathered. Lord, I pray that our minds will be focused, our spirit will be open. I pray in these few moments that we have together, you would speak to our hearts and lives, that this wouldn't just be a speech or a religious gathering. I pray that I might be a vessel for your Holy Spirit to flow through. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our lives, in the Island Church, in earth as it is in heaven. I pray it all in Jesus Christ's name. And everyone would say, amen and amen. Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale, California has been called the Disneyland for the dead. A lot of Hollywood stars, early Hollywood stars, were buried there. Tourists would take trips through that cemetery to see their movie star that had passed away. When the kids were younger, we took the kids on a spring break to San Diego and to L.A., and we took the Hollywood tour, see where the stars, had fun looking at all those stuff, saw the original Tarzan, and he had a moat around his house and all that. It was really, really cool stuff. But I usually just don't go look at cemeteries. But people actually tour this. Now, I will tell you, I did take a quest. We lived in San Francisco, and I did take a quest to go find Wyatt Earp's grave, who's there, and eventually found it. It that means nothing, but I just wanted you to know I did look for a grave one time. One wealthy Hollywood producer was buried sitting up in his Cadillac with a cigar glued in his mouth. As the car was lowered into the grave, one of the attendants was heard to say, "Man, that's really living." You know what I'd say? That's really dead. Some folks think things are what really gives you life. See, you may make a good living, but you may not really be living. When the Bible talks about living, we're talking about life today, and eternal life. Listen to this. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 36, it says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." See, for those who believe and receive Christ, there's heaven. But for those who don't, there's no life. In fact, there's the wrath of God. There's hell for that person. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. How do we live? How do we live life? Is it just simply about repeating a sinner's prayer? Is it simply about accepting Jesus? Absolutely, it's about accepting Christ. But then there's life. See, we don't just get saved to die. Heaven is a real part of that, and we're going to talk a little bit about heaven this morning. We get saved, we give our heart to Christ, not just as a fire escape from hell, but to live life here and to live for eternity. My dad pastored the same church for 58 years. He passed away about 5 years ago. He pastored until the day that he died. He used to say this. It seemed like I've heard him say it 1,000 times growing up, that God gives us a little heaven to go to heaven in. This isn't heaven, but God gives us some heaven to go to heaven in. To live life is real life, to live life for Christ, and then to have life eternal. Well, let's look at this acrostic, live, and let's go through this. Some of these things we talked about, I'll remind you enough to where you won't forget, but not to where it's boring to you. And for those who weren't here, you'll be able to pick up on these first two points that we've already gone over. Number one, how to live, L-I-V-E. Number one, look at life from a God view. Colossians 3 and verse 1, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you've been raised with Christ, if we know Christ, we've been raised with him. Everybody following me here so far? Amen. All right, now watch this. Ephesians. It's also a book the Apostle Paul wrote. He probably was writing it simultaneously with Colossians. And here's what he said to the Ephesians. He said, and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now here's the question. Where is Jesus at this moment? Where is Jesus at this moment? Well, spiritually speaking, he's right here with us because he promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. He said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm there. I promise to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. But spiritually speaking, he's here. But literally, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. I mean, we have no problem with that, do we? We know that God is in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven. And we know, according to Scripture, that he is seated at the right hand of God. Couple things about heaven. First of all, when we understand that he's in heaven at the right hand of God, that represents victory and authority. Victory over death and sin, and authority over the devil and over everything in this world. So that's him being in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, speaks of victory and it speaks of authority. It also speaks of the fact that he accomplished what he came to accomplish on this earth. He said, it's better that I go away. If I go away, the comforter will not come. But I'm going to go and I'm going to send one like myself, the Holy Spirit, that will come and abide. We know Jesus rose from the dead because the Holy Spirit has been given. So we know he made it to heaven because Acts chapter 2 happened. The day of Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out. So it's important for us to recognize Jesus, where he is literally. Spiritually, he's with us. But literally, he's at the right hand of God. A lot of people think, well, you know, this is it's in reference to heaven someday. No, he's talking about heaven today. The fact that we are seated with Christ today. Heaven is a real place. And all true Christians are going to spend eternity with Jesus. But I've mentioned to you before, you don't have to go through a cemetery to experience heaven. A taste of heaven. We're headed to heaven. But the Bible says right now we're seated with him in heavenly places. Let's back up. Where are you? Well, physically, you're right here listening to me. Spiritually, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6, he has seated us with him in heavenly places. And so there's that touch of heaven in this world. See, we live in a physical world, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. But superimposed on this world is another world. It's a whole nother dimension. I mentioned this last week, but I want everyone to get it who wasn't here. There is so many things that's happening in this room right here that we don't see. There's a Western going on. There's a shootout at the OK Corral. There's a war picture going on over here. There's a cartoon playing and animation that's going on. There's music that's going on. Right in this room, right now, there's music that's being played. It's kind of like, dun, 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 dun. I got sunshine on a cloudy day. You hear it? See, we don't hear it, but it's going on. Why? Because there are television signals and radio signals all through this room. And if we were tuned in, we would hear them and we would see them. Does anyone deny that there's all these radio television signals that are going on all around us? No. Now, if you'd have told that to Abraham Lincoln, he'd have said, you're crazy. But he had never experienced TV or radio and didn't understand how these waves worked. In the same manner, there's all these things that are happening in the heavenlies all around us. We are spirit people. And there are people in this world that think we are out of our minds because we pray concerning things that we don't see to a God that we don't see, literally. See, the spirit world is tapped into by faith. And the spirit world is a real world. We're still in this world, but there is a spirit world happening. We are in this room right now, but we are also, according to Scripture, we have been made to sit in heavenly places. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Why is this important? Here it is. Because when you begin to see that you're seated with Christ, the higher you get above, the smaller things look on this earth. And when you're in the middle of the valley, when you're in the Grand Canyon, when the mountains are all around you, when you're in the city and all the skyscrapers are there, you can't see which way to go. And you feel like it's all coming in on you. And you get claustrophobic, so to speak. But once you get up on top, once you see things from above, you see things totally different. That's what the Apostle Paul's trying to get us to see. We're in a physical world, but we're spiritual people, and we're seated with Christ, and when we're seated with Him, we see things from a different perspective. Oh, somebody say amen. When you see things from His perspective, all of a sudden, it's not as big as when we seem to be facing it. We're seeing it from a God view. Are you following me here? Amen. People talk about being under the circumstances. You say, how you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. God didn't call us to live under circumstances. You know, it's like this. How'd you sleep last night? Well, I slept pretty good under the mattress. Well, what are you doing under the mattress? Aren't we supposed to sleep on the mattress? See, what I'm trying to do is help us to see things from God's perspective. We're putting ourselves under. God says, I want to lift you up. I want you to see things from a perspective that I can do all things, that I supply your need. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. If God be for you, who can be against you? Up here where you see that you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So we need to look at things from God's view. Here's the second thing. We need to invest. L-I, invest or infuse your mind with heavenly values. In Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 1 and 2. Look at verse number 2. It says, set your minds on things above and not on things of the earth. Grab a hold of this. The word set means to synchronize or to make two things agree. Obviously, we talked about our clocks. I set the stove and I set the microwave to my cell phone. Now, there is a perfect standard of time, and that's where our cell phones get it from, called the GMT, the Greenwich Mean Time. But what I needed to do, my cell phone automatically goes to that. But what I needed to do was set the stove and to set the microwave, which how many understand? That's a miracle that I knew how to set those. How many remember VCRs? How many, when that went out, your VCR still said 12 on it? See, here's when the Bible says set your minds on things above, we're setting it on the right standard. Just like you set your clock to the right standard. We set our hearts and we set our minds on the right standard. Let me ask you a question. Who's your God? You say, well, Pastor, of course, God's my God. Is he? Is God your God? See, I don't believe there are really true atheists. I mean, everyone believes in some kind of God. A God is that person or thing to which you give your ultimate allegiance. Listen, let me give you that 3T test, and that is this. What do you think about the most? The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 23. What do you give your thoughts to? What are you consumed with? If it's self, then maybe you have made self a little God, because we tend to think about self the most. What do you talk about? What do you talk about most of the time? Listen to a person talk, and you'll know what their God is, because they talk about what they're interested in, what's most important to them. And then, of course, it's this. Where do you invest your treasure? Where do you spend your resource? What do you think about? What do you talk about? What do you spend all of your time on? See, I go back. You know I preach about being faithful to church. I'm amazed at how many substandard focuses we put our time and we sacrifice church for. I'm going to tell you something. If church is a priority and we're always one generation away from extinction, how are we going to teach our families that church is priority? Because we make every effort to make church priority. And when we fail to make church priority, we say, well, it's okay to miss here. We raise a generation that says, well, it's okay. Because more is caught in life than taught in life. I'm a firm believer that faithfulness, and the reason I do, the Bible says, obviously, forsake not the assembly of yourself together, but there's something about being together. Isolation, living apart, it's where the enemy tends to attack and overwhelm us. So who is your God? Who do you spend your time, your talking, your treasure, your thinking? That is what you're captivated by. Heaven is real, yes. Jesus is a real person, yes. Do we ever think about Jesus? Do we think of his word? Do we think of his coming? It's like a soldier who gets a letter or care package from his wife or from his fiance. And when he reads that, he might be in the Middle East, but he's 1,000 miles away because he's captivated. God has given us a letter. Are we captivated by the word of God, the things of God, by who Jesus is? Is it ever apart? See, if you don't have thoughts about God, his word, I really fear for you. You say, Pastor, are you questioning my salvation? No, you should, though. I mean, if we say he's Lord, but if we don't live like he's Lord, we maybe need to reevaluate our lives to infuse our mind with heavenly values, godly principles. How about this? Here's the B. Visualize your life secure with Christ. It says, for you died and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Or verse number 3, rather. There are two images. There are two images here. One image is death, and one image is life. And it says this, for you have died. You have died. Now, that doesn't mean literally, physically. It means I've died to the old man. I've died to the flesh. We all know if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. So I have died to the flesh. Write this down. Get this in your heart. Dead people aren't interested in the things of the world. Dead people are not interested. They're not attracted. They're not amused by the things of this world. I've heard my dad say he's going through a dark, dark time. He had tuberculosis. He was in the sanitarium dying of tuberculosis, hemorrhaging blood. He said, you know, he said, I'm thinking of life and eternity and I'm fighting for my life. He said, I'll tell you, I couldn't remember, is my house blue or is my house yellow? Do I have a one-car garage or a two-car garage? Is my car two-door or four-door? It didn't matter to him. He was dead to that. And it's not that God's against nice things or whatever, but those things weren't priority. And so there's two thoughts here. One is we are dying to the old man. I read a great story. It's about a pastor in California in the Jesus movement time. It was the hippie era. And these two girls had gotten saved. And they were from a real party, drug, drinking culture. And in the Jesus movement, had come into the church, given their life to Christ. And the pastor said they received, he was relaying this story, said they received an invitation. It was an RSVP. Hey, we want you to come to this party. It's going to be the mother of all parties. Man, there's going to be so much drugs. There's going to be so much booze there. And here's what they wrote back on the RSVP. They said, we are sorry we will not be able to attend because we both recently died. I love that. Don't you? I died to the old man. They said, we died. And so there's a picture of death, dying to Seth, and then there's a picture of life. And it's being hidden. It's not that you can't find us. It's just that we are hidden. Do you know that being in Christ is the safest, most secure place to be in all the world? So how do we live? Well, L, look at life from a new perspective. I, infuse or invest your heart, your values in heavenly things. 3, V, visualize your life secure in Christ. And I close with this, expect to see Jesus in glory. What he's talking about here is he's talking about the second coming of Christ. How many understand Jesus said, if I go, I will come again, and I'll receive you unto myself. How many know Jesus is coming back? It's how to live, is to have a heavenly perspective. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if we're just thinking about heaven all the time, we'll be so spiritually minded, we'll be no earthly good. I have never met anyone like that. I've met some super spiritual people, but I've never met anybody like that. Here's the people I meet. They're so earthly minded, they're no spiritually good. They're consumed with this world, not heaven. I don't think the problem's being too consumed with heaven. I think the problem's being too consumed with this world. And what he's talking about here, he says, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of the saints, it says, if you have died and your life is hidden with God in Christ, and then that's verse 3, then number 4, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, a lot of people think that history is just lurching. It's coincidental. It's unconnected. They don't see all the disasters and wars. They don't have any rhyme or reason. Other people see history as a cycle of repeating itself. What goes around comes around. But to Christ's followers, we understand that life is not about us, that the world doesn't revolve around us, that we're not starring in this show, but Jesus is the star of this show. That it is all about Him. It is His story. And that God is moving this world toward a climactic event called the second coming of Christ. In the memoriam, a quotation from Tennyson in the Library of Congress, it says this: one God, one law, one far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves. That's what's happening. Do you know that the Bible speaks of two nations more than any others? Israel and Iraq. In the Bible called Babylon. And in our most recent generation, since 2000, and it was the Middle East has been a hotbed forever. But boy, the Middle East, Iraq, all around, constantly in the news. Does it ever come to mind that the prophetic clock is moving and that God is causing this thing to come towards this climactic event of His second coming? You know, you see signs. If you've ever been to Vegas, it'll say, appearing tonight. Or if someone's coming next week, it'll say, appearing soon. Can I tell you, Jesus is appearing soon. Don't ever let that be a secondary thought. Expect. Live as though Jesus is going to come today. You know, my dad used to say, live as if Jesus is coming today. Plan like He's not coming back for a year. But live like He's coming today. He used to say, live like Jesus is coming today and plant a tree. Is there a mindset of Jesus and the fact that He is coming back? See, this passage gives us insight on how to really live. And it has nothing to do with being consumed with this world. It's looking from God's perspective. It's being infused with His values, His word. It's visualizing our life secure. We're dead to our sin and we're safe in Him. And we're looking forward to Jesus coming. If we don't have these kind of thoughts, I have grave concern. It should be a part of our life. We live dead to self. We live with our eyes on Him. We live with His value. And we're looking forward. There's an anticipation. There's an urgency. And here's what it does. It gives us an urgency to tell as many people as we can about Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you love God's word? Are you living? Are you just breathing?